I don't know whether we're not praying hard enough or long enough for a pastor, but gee, I wished he'd come. When you do commit yourself to do something like this, quite often you have a bad week, and we've had a bad week. But God is sovereign. Let's pray. Father God, you are sovereign over everything. And we just heard from your word, no matter what we do, no matter where we are, whether we're in your will or out of your will, your faithfulness to us is so awesome. It just never wavers. How much comfort. Oh, Father, how beautiful are your words to us this morning. Father God, we want to tell you that we want to surrender to you. Would you give us spiritual ears to hear your voice? And Father, don't let your people hear my voice. Let them hear your voice through your spirit this morning. Would you open our spiritual eyes to see what you're doing and where you're coming and when you're coming. Father, thank you that you send your spirit to us this morning. He is going to speak so clearly. We thank you for that, Father God. And he's going to say things to us that are so important. So we want to listen to his voice this morning. And I know that we're going to be blessed out of our socks. Father, when we go through those doors, we're going to be different because you have come and you have spoken to us. And your words have been like healing to our souls and our body. So, Father, we just praise and bless you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I had an encounter with the Lord. I went to that film that you've got. Please go. You can get the tickets at the theatre. You don't have to buy online. It's my only commercial. I've had many encounters with Jesus. Does that make me any better than you? No, I'm glad to hear no. No, it doesn't, does it? I think last time I was up here, I said, I'm the same. You're the same as me. Did I cope in this last week? Sometimes not. I'm the same. And you're the same, because sometimes you don't cope, do you? You have bad weeks, we have ups and downs. We don't do it right. The kids get on our nerves, and we say we're human. We are God's people, and he knows that. And in this encounter, I came out and I had such emotion, and I had to keep it because I was not going to cry in front of all people as I walk out. No way. Okay, do you know what he said? The Spirit said, tell them. He's talking about you. Tell them I love them. And that makes me cry. Whew. Tell them I love them. He loves you, young boys. He loves you with so much depth and love that we cannot fathom how much he loves us. We sing these words. Do we sing them from here or do we sing them from there? Sometimes it's here and sometimes it's there. But Jesus wants you to know he loves you. He cares. He understands. He's there in the dark times. He's there in the difficult times. If you're feeling alone and you live alone, Jesus loves you. My friend Ella knows that. Jesus loves you in all your circumstances. He doesn't favour one from another. He's not like that. But he is a jealous God because he wants all of you. All of you. All of you. Do we understand that? And today I think we're going to unpack a little bit of that. I think. Because I'm listening. God, what do you want to say to your people? Because it's, I don't want my words. I've got some security in some notes, but I'm listening. And that's how we should be, listening to him because he loves us. We talked about having a relationship with Jesus. It's not about tradition. It's not about whether we do it right or we do it wrong. It's about him. It's about relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he died on the cross, so we could have a relationship and experience his love. Did you hear the reading that Murray gave, the first one? Did you hear the description? That was centuries before Jesus went to the cross. It was a prophecy. How he was bruised. He was unrecognizable, I'm sure. How the crown of thorns was put on his head. That's Jesus' expression of his love. No matter whether we're black, blue, yellow or white, it doesn't matter. Jesus died for every single one of us. Isn't that awesome love?
Yes.
Awesome love. I wished I could sing a little song. I wished we could sing a little song, but I don't think you know it. It's back from my army days. But I want to read the words. One day maybe we might sing it. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about your name. Master, Saviour, Jesus, just like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. King and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about your name. That beautiful name of Jesus. Jesus doesn't come to us this morning as an intellectual. He's all-knowing. He could be an intellectual. He doesn't come as a judge. Remember that. He doesn't come to us as a judge to make us feel guilty. No, because he shed his blood so we don't have to feel guilty. And I think that's wonderful. That's part of his love. That's his mercy and grace on our lives when we don't get it right. So no guilt feelings this morning, okay? His blood set us free. We are free, and the word says we are free indeed. The word says if you know the truth, then the truth does set you free. And there are times already creeping into our churches where the truth is not talked about. It's not preached. So we have to be very discerning to know this. I love this. Doesn't it feel good? You know, if you've got a Bible, do you want to hold it up and hug it? It feels good. I can touch it. I love it. And when I look into this, it teaches me. It actually says to study the word. Well, I've got more study to do, believe you me. But it's the book of love. This is Jesus. Jesus says, I am the word. I am the word. So if it's Jesus, why don't we pick it up and read it? Why don't we love it? Why don't we hold it dear? Many times, particularly when I was younger, I didn't know the value, and it stayed in the bookcase with dust on. And I'm sure there are a lot of Bibles around the place with dust on. But this is living. It's a living word to us. It's a love letter from Jesus to us. So I want to encourage you to get out, because Jesus loves you, and this is his love to you. Gilbert and a few of us round the table in our little group we have, they get out there, I say, now, where's your Bible? And they get out their phones. Ooh, says a great grandmother. It's a new generation. It's a new time. And I say to him, can you hug it? Does it feel good? It's cold. It's metal. But God bless them. The word is still in their phones and they're reading it. Oh, dear. I have to try to embrace technology, and it's hard going. Okay. Another song that says, he takes me as I am. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus takes you right as you are. We don't have to try to be good. We don't have to be, you know, make it. He takes us as we are. When we were very young, a long time ago, we were invited to a Bible study. We weren't in a Bible study, we were young parents. And I thought I had to know more about the Bible than I did. So, and I wasn't in that place. So I said, no, sorry, we can't go. Well, I didn't say that, but I didn't want to go because I didn't think I knew enough. Now I'm 76 and I look back and I think, how dumb is that? That's not an excuse not to go to Bible study. And you know, these precious friends kept asking, very nicely, kept asking. They never gave up on us. And of course, we had to say, well, they've asked us so many times, we better go. That was the only reason we went. They kept asking. And you know, that was where we found this book. It changed my life. It began to put me on a journey. And when we do open the book, it puts you on a journey. It changes us because Jesus has done it all for us. We don't have to be intellectual. We don't have to even try. But sometimes we have to do stuff because Jesus says, be ye holy as I am holy. How do you be holy? Are you holy when you get old? Take my word for it, no. Are you holy when you're young? Certainly not. Be ye holy. How do we be holy? Well, I want to unpack a little bit this morning. I don't want to spend a lot of time because as the ministry team knows, it's a huge, area, and we could be here for a little bit longer than lunchtime. And I'm all over the place. I'm not following my notes. Isn't that scary? Could we have that up there? Thanks, Thomas. How do we be holy? Oh, we can't find the verse of scripture. That's okay. I'm not good at this sort of stuff, as you can see. Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Oh, I need technology people in my family. Oh, Phil, Calvin. Yes, okay. Now, when God made us, way back in Genesis, he had a plan, he had a pattern. And you may not understand this. If you don't understand it or want questions, you can ask me. But we have several people in our congregation, particularly the ministry team, who's gone through all this teaching. And it's a wonderful teaching. It's a tool to understand how we act. And I just want to go through it a little bit briefly to help us this morning. God made us body, which we know. Okay. He made us spirit, which we don't know a lot about. We have a personal spirit, and it's a little s, not a Holy Spirit. And we have a soul. That's how we're made. I didn't know I was made in three parts, but it's in the scripture. 1 Thessalonians, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That's his wholly, but it helps us to be holy. Okay? And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless. What does blameless mean? It means... Yeah, okay, we're on the way to being holy unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God made us body, soul and spirit. That's how we function. Now, just look quickly at the soul area, at your mind. Oh, we know our mind, don't we? Yeah, we know our mind. All sorts of things go on in our mind, good things and bad things. That's where we do our thinking. And when we do our thinking, what happens? We sometimes have to take an action. And that's what we're going to do this morning. Action. And then according to what action and how we think, we have good emotions and bad emotions. And is that how we operate? Mostly? Yes. Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah. So we're up and down and all over the place, on the mountains and down in the valleys. We're happy and we're not having a good time. Now, the spirit part of our body, which we don't know about, but if we read the word, there's stacks of scripture in there about the spirit. Now, the spirit is knowing, communing, and our conscience. Now, if God is a spirit, then we need our spirit to commune with him. Now, don't tell me you don't use your mind. I know all that, but I just want to... We can't go into this too long. Okay, so God is spirit and we commune with him in our spirit. Now, I don't know whether I'm going to prove it, but anyway, I'm going to try. When you sing, Jesus, 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 where are you feeling that? Someone's going like this. In our spirit. We know it up here, of course, and we hear it, but it's in here. When we commune with God, we commune with him in here, deep inside. Nobody else can get in there. I can maybe look at Marlene and think, oh, I know what she's thinking. But I don't know deep inside the things. God knows because he made us. So our spirit is really important. We can talk to God about our spirit. Lord, I want to sit down and I want to read your passage. Would you open my spirit to understand with my mind what you're saying? Talk to him about your spirit. Bring that into your relationship with him. It's really important. And if you, I know some people say, but I don't hear God speaking. Well, I'm sorry, but in John 10, if you read John 10:10, you'll see where it says, Jesus is our shepherd. We are his sheep, he is our shepherd, and the sheep hear his voice. Now, when I found that, I took it to God, I held it up. Don't do this. And it was like I had a plank of wood. I'm ashamed. God, I can hear your voice. But I'm not, but your word says I can hear your voice. I want to hear your voice, please. And this is how I was going on. Please, I want to hear your voice. And you don't change. Your word says you don't change. You could talk to him like this. God says, I don't change. I'm the same yesterday and forever. And who spoke? Who heard? Way back in the Old Testament, Adam and Eve, well, they were in a different state to what we were until sin came into the world. But we can. It's us that's the block. It's us that's stopping. No matter how old you are, 93, 100, you're all young. We're all young. We can hear God's voice. Do you desire it? Look at this. Don't let the soul block it out, because that will. Because that area, Satan comes to attack us. He tries to get all of that area. And you can see why. Once he's got all that area, our thinking and our will and our emotions, he's got us. But Jesus is stronger. We have to know that. Jesus loves us. Who is Jesus to you? Big question this morning. Who is Jesus to you? You know who he is. He died on the cross. He rose again. He lives. All that. But I'm talking about something different. Who is Jesus to you in your living? It's a different question, isn't it? Spirit to spirit, relationship to relationship. That's what Jesus wants. He wants to be intimate to you. He loves you. It's his name. It's his name. It's full of love to you. Can you feel it? Can you open your spirits this morning? I'm not talking about emotion. I'm talking about opening your spirit. Can you sense his presence? Do you sense your presence? When you're cranky, happens, I know. I had a dear friend. I said, oh, nothing's going right. And I'd forgotten to praise. See, I'm the same as you. My dear friend Jeannie. How you going? Praise, she says. Praise. Oh, Louise, I forgot. Praise. That's how we should praise. It gets our spirit going. Gets our spirit going. So we should praise him. If you can't sing or you think you can't sing, don't worry about that. Just start by words. And I wanted to praise Jesus so much. But my English, my mind was, I didn't think it was big enough. I couldn't get enough words to say how beautiful you are. I mean, if I kept saying that, Jesus doesn't mind, but I wanted more. So I said, Lord, in your word, you have a gift, and I want it. He gave me his own special language to praise him. It's wonderful. I drive the car for half an hour, 30 minutes of praising God. Wow. If I was in the house, would I be doing it? Probably not. Looking up a recipe book, cooking tea for hubby. Back, driving half an hour, a whole hour in a day, praising God. It's great because I don't have to, I'm concentrating on the road. Is my mind praising God? No, because I'm concentrating. Guess what's happening? It's my spirit that's praising God. It's the best gift. The spirit, my spirit, praising God, praising to his Holy Spirit, spirit to spirit. Devil can't interfere. He doesn't know why. He can't understand it. Done and dusted. Absolutely wonderful. I got off track. That doesn't matter, does it? Where are we? Okay. Warning. Who is Jesus? You can let that go now, thanks. Jesus. Jesus is telling them, us this morning, I love you. Who is Jesus to you? Now remember at the beginning I said, you're not allowed to feel guilty. Well, just remember that. Who is Jesus to us? What about worship? Do we rush to go to worship? Are we excited about Sunday? Coming to church, isn't it exciting? Oh, trying to get the kids ready to get there on time. Done it, been there, done that, mine's gone, hallelujah. But we're coming to worship God on a Sunday. It's Jesus we're coming to worship because he loves us. We love him enough to be excited about coming to church on Sunday because he loves us. So where is God in that? How do we get, do we come with such expectation? And I noticed a lot of us were here on time this morning. It's hard getting here on time, isn't it? Because who wants to stop us? But we don't think of that. The devil hates us coming in here. But who is God in our time, in our organisation? Who is Jesus in that area of our life to us? Is he there? Can he help you? Of course he can. He can help you. It's exciting. He wants us to worship us, him, because he loves us. So I'm encouraging you this morning to think about that. Come, let's have a rush at the door. So excited to come and worship God. Worship is it's a part of our loving and giving back to him. I remember when I first came to the pastor to work here, 26 years ago or something like that. Pastor Kevin said to me, don't expect the people to arrive on time. Can I repeat that? Don't expect the people to arrive on time. 26 odd years ago. They are always late. And when God brought that to my mind, what did I think? Louise will know. Are we aware that is a curse put on us to be late? Don't feel guilty. It's a curse. Are you aware that every time you come late, you are manifesting that curse? Just think about that. So how do we break it? Because it is a curse and it needs breaking. The Lord brought it to my mind. We repent first of being late, and not really, I don't know whether we worry about being late or not, I don't know. That's not my question. But my question is, who is Jesus to us in this situation? So we repent of it, and then we break it over our lives. You do this at home, break it over your life, and then you put your will into action. And this is Jesus is saying to us this morning. There are things we have to put into action. This is one of them. Then we make up our mind, our will, not to be late, not to be part of that curse. Do you understand? Does that make sense? Ah, Jesus leaves it with us then. Okay. Now, he also gave me another lesson, and he talks about my time. Time is precious, we say. Time is precious. Okay. And Lord said to me, I give you 24 hours a day. I never thought of that. Jesus does, doesn't he? Because he made the world. He gives us 24 hours a day. So he's saying 24 hours a day is enough for you. So he knows all wisdom. And how often we say, oh, I wish there was more hours in the day. I mean, I say it quite often. I'll have to stop. Jesus gives us 24 hours a day with our time. Now, his time is important to him because it belongs to him. Do you realise that everything we have belongs to him? Everything we have belongs to him. We are only stewards of what he gives us. Now, I heard a beautiful story. Just recently, a couple got this understanding. They had a house, they rented it out because they thought, well, later on they could sell it, maybe good money for retirement or something. I don't know. But they had a revelation, and Jesus said to them, this house doesn't belong to you, it belongs to me. That was a revelation. It hit the spirit. They heard it with spiritual ears in here, not in their mind. So they gave it to someone who needed a house. And they're subsidizing it. Isn't that wonderful? Because they had the revelation. Ask God for a revelation. See what he says to you. Time. Ron and I don't watch a lot of telly. When I say that, big question mark. I'll rectify that. We're very careful what we watch on television, because on television you can see a lot of sin. And what we do, we make sin our entertainment. Ooh. We're watching it with our eyes. And if we watch it with our eyes, we're hearing what they're saying, and that goes inside. It's not of God. Is that the end? Okay. On the telly, and you see it in the commercials. Commercials are really bad. I saw one, I don't know, just recently, a day or two ago. Two girls, young girls, teenagers, going on a party, and they produce a photo of the guy they're going out with. So she says, oh, have you got, and the word begins with C, I think. You know, or you've got to have those, have protection, so you know what I'm talking about now. Okay. Because she'd had experience with this guy, so she wanted her friend to be protected. What is that in the scripture? What is sex before marriage in the scripture? Fornication. The world says it's okay. The world says try before you buy. But, and the word says in the scripture, fornicators will not enter heaven. It's very clear. It is not holy. And yet we watch this over and over. And I'm not talking about you. I know you don't watch things like that. But the world. The world is watching it over and over and over again as entertainment. God says it is not holy. I've never rung up and complained, but I think I might if I can remember what station it was about that commercial, because it was on tea time. And kids ask questions. We have to be proactive. I'm starting to learn that. I have to be proactive. I leave it to everybody else to make a phone call and complain. And I think God's starting to do something in here about that. Because then when we have all this stuff that we've had, holy me, says, where are the pastors? They're not saying anything. I have a responsibility and you have a responsibility also. If Jesus tells us, because this is sin and it's taking people into hell, do we care enough? Where is Jesus in our life in this? Where is he? What's he saying? Do you know, I worked it out. If Ron and I sit and we watch telly, we start with the 5 o'clock news, the 6 o'clock news, current affairs, documentaries, things like that. And this is sort of what we watch. I love Escape to the Country. And so we sit there and we've worked it out. If we sit there for 4 hours, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 9 o'clock, which we can do and have done, 4 hours. Do we do that 5 nights? 5 fours are 20, aren't they? 20 hours a week. 20 hours a week. And if we do that 7 days a week, that's 28 hours a week just sitting. I might get out my knitting and think I'm being productive. If we do that for a whole 12 months, 1,040 hours watching telly, has it done anything for me? I'm not saying don't watch it. I got a wonderful grandson who got married and says, we're not having a telly, and they don't have a telly. I think, wow. But I'm beginning to think, oh. Yes, where is Jesus in our telly life? I decided one night I wasn't going to watch telly. Guess what happened? I cleaned my kitchen cupboards. Wonderful, didn't take me long. Ron switched off the telly, he came and helped me. Wonderful occupation. And I went to bed early and I went to bed praising, because when I opened my cupboards, come on girls, you know that, you love a clean cupboard. It was wonderful. No, Sarah came and I went, look Sarah, good I've done. She says, what? Yes, so there you go. Where is Jesus in our life? Okay, I don't know where I am in here, but what's the time? Okay. Money. Oh, we don't like to talk about money, do we? I think Bev wants to get up and talk about money in our church, and oh, she's with the kids. Money. Where is Jesus in our money? Where is he? Where is Jesus in our giving? Where is he? Nothing much more to say but those questions, is it? I learned a long time ago, and Jesus taught me, my security is not in my bank book. Believe you me, it's not. It's in him. He orders my life. He's taught me to give my first fruits to him first and not last. Hasn't always been like this. to give to him. You cannot outgive God. You cannot. God will bless you out of your socks. Where is God in your giving? Even you young people, when you work at Hungry Jack's or whatever, where is God in your pay packet? Enough said. Timothy says, Jesus, who saved us, has called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, not according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ before time began. A holy calling. If you want to see Jesus, then be ye holy as I am holy. If there's anyone here this morning that doesn't have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if you haven't asked Jesus to be Lord and Saviour of your life, can I encourage you to do that? To invite him into your life to be Lord and Saviour? Does that create fear in you? Because God does not give us fear. If you are scared of relinquishing every area of your life to him and give it over, and if you are fearful of that because you don't know what he'll do and you don't know where he'll send you, I mean, he might grab a Lutheran and send him to the Salvation Army. That would be fun, wouldn't it? He has a sense of humour. God does not give us a fear. He gives us love and a sound mind. I like that last bit. Love and a sound mind. But if we do not make this move, then we are bound for hell. They are not my words. We used to hear a lot about that in the olden days. But it's in the scriptures. And God says, he is calling you. He doesn't want one to perish. For God so loved the world that he gave up his only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Isn't it worth it? We will die an earthly death, but we who believe in him will go straight to be with Jesus. I can't wait. But he says, not yet, until we get a pastor. I want to do something very quickly. I want everybody over 55 to stand up, please. Trust me.
Stand up, you're a little bit over 55.
I know you don't want to tell us your age, but I'm 76. Are you right, Jess? Hang on to the chair, darling. If you can't, sit down, okay? Did you hear? If you can't stand up,
no.
Sit down. Okay. Right, 55. Young ones, look around. Look around at who's standing up, and I'm one of them. Young ones, these people are your wisdom. These people are your wisdom. These people can teach you. These people can teach you. The scripture says the older ones, particularly the women, can teach the older women, young women. So have a look around who you can go to. We are a family. Sorry, we're joined together. Jesus joins us together with his love. We're linked with his love. Now, we have a prophet in Australia that you may not know about, but I do. And God speaks And I'm going to speak over you this morning some words of encouragement. And I want to encourage our older, our elders, elderly. God has not forgotten you. And I want to say to each one of you, and I'm talking to the over 55s, God has not forgotten you. If you think your service is up, that you can't do much for God, then I'm going to tell you that God today says the opposite. He's decreeing over you words. Even if you just are housebound or can't do anything, God has not forgotten you. He loves you with such inspiring love that when you sit in your lounge, be conscious of the Holy Spirit pouring his love into you. All your hard times of the past have gone. Jesus loves you. He loves you. He wants you to know that. He knows the hard times, but he loves you. He says to you, every one of you, there is going to be a season over your lives. And he's talking to over 55s. There's going to be a greater awakening in your life and placing for those 55 and over. This is going to be a season. And I want you to say at the end of this, yes, Lord, I want that. Because if you don't take any notice of it, young people, they can come in. Oh, right. Don't take any notice of that. You don't want to be overlooked. You've got to say, yes, God, I'll have that. Okay? You've got to do it. Okay? And don't think that I'm not good enough, because Jesus loves you and he says you are good enough. You're good enough for my kingdom. I love you. I died for you. That's his love story for you this morning. Many of my children, 55 years old and over, have felt forgotten. They have felt abandoned. They have felt left to the side, while others have an excitement in their spirit for what is to come and what I'm doing, but are waiting my direction. Precious one, he says, your best days in seeing... But I'm decreeing the exact opposite. The best days for these precious ones in me are upon them now, at our age. Can you believe that? Come on, God did it to me. You know? Why me, I said, God? I'm a grandmother for Menaloo. I was nobody. Do you know what he said to me? The soft, still voice says, why not? Why not, girls? You still got life in us. Right? Take it. Their best days in seeing me move, me awaken, accelerate my hand, bringing a great divine placing, awakening to their identity in greater ways, as many have not known their identity deeply, awakening to who I am and awakening to their giftings, girls and boys, and calling in greater ways. That's what God is doing, he's going. Many carrying regret, but I'm decreeing, my beautiful children, you are moving into a season of seeing me move more powerfully in and through you. You. There is a great season of refreshing upon you. You're tired. No wonder. We do a lot. God is refreshing you. Ask for it. Upon you that is being released in the wonder of who I am and the work of my hand. This is God's word for you. I'm My beautiful children, you are moving into a season of seeing me move more powerfully in and through you and that you have ever seen before, and you are going to move into a deeper place of dreams. Do come true. There are great seasons of refreshing upon you that is being released in the wonder of who I am and the work of my hand. I'm decreeing flourishing. Would you say it? Repeat this after me? Not the first words. I am decreeing flourishing.
Flourishing.
Victory.
Victory.
Strength. And thriving.
Thriving.
Repeat it. Flourishing.
Flourishing.
Victory.
Victory.
Strength. And thriving.
Thriving.
Grab it. It's yours to take. That's what God is saying to you. On the encounters with me that shall be had. They're the encounters. You can sit down now. God loves us. He loves us. He loves you, young people. He has a heart. He has a purpose and a plan for the little babies, for our little ones. No matter how old we are, hey Marlene, God can use us. He uses this girl every week. Don't think, ladies, that you have to be in the kitchen every Sunday. Don't think that. That is a lie. Be careful who you are listening to. Yes, there are gifts of helps. But I want to say to the young people, sometimes, what about, and I know some of you do, you go, I see you in the kitchen, and you say, move over, give me the tea towel. You have no idea how my heart sings. You could do that to me anytime. Young people, help in the kitchen. They miss out because they don't get to see their friends. I've had that experience. And last week I didn't go in the kitchen. I stayed out and I talked. And it was wonderful. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Felt a bit guilty, but don't feel guilty. We're a family. Love each other. Look after each other. But it is so important, ladies. Don't stay in the kitchen. God loves you equally as much. Come out, talk, share. We used to sing, let's talk about Jesus more and more. We don't sing that anymore. Let's talk about Jesus. I love to go up to people and say, how's your walk with the Lord going? It's wonderful. Let us pray. Open your eyes. Open our eyes. We want to see Jesus. Lord, we've come to tell you this morning that we're a bunch of people who belong to you. And as we go out this door, Father, I want and I ask through your Spirit that the words that you have spoken over your people will remain with them. And their question sometimes will be, where is Jesus to me in this situation? Father, your word says that we can do anything in Christ who strengtheneth us. Father God, we love you and we want to serve you. Father, if you do call us into different areas, no matter how old we are, particularly us oldies, Father, let us rejoice because you are doing a new thing and you don't count age in your kingdom. You just see our hearts. And we want to tell you, Father, we want to open our hearts to you this morning. And we want you to come in our body our soul and our spirit, that we can hear your voice. Father, help us by your spirit to be a holy people. You know we don't get it right. You know all about us. But Father God, you remind us that every word for our life that you have planned is written in those books in heaven. And that is amazing grace to us. Father, we want to do and be where you want us to be placed, and we trust you and we thank you. We thank you for your love this morning. Your love. Your love. You love us. You love us. That is so precious, and we want you to know that. So, Father, bless these people and their homes and their families. Father, if there are any loved ones in our family who don't know you, help us to be strong and to talk to them about Jesus. We ask this in your name for your glory, Jesus. We ask it, Father. Amen.